Okay, welcome to the show, everyone. Catherine?
Yeah?
Good day to you.
Good day, Ian.
High energy show.
Yeah.
A lot of jokes.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of fun.
Yeah.
Maybe some, I don't know, interesting discussions about the world at large.
Maybe. Who knows?
No, we know.
Oh, yeah, we know.
It's going to be great.
Because we prepared.
Yep. All right, here's the things we can talk about.
Okay.
Your audition for you auditioned.
Yeah.
I want to get this right because you get fucking furious if I get it wrong. You auditioned to be the spokesperson for a vitamin jelly bean company.
Yeah.
Kind of, right?
I had a jelly bean audition.
Okay, that's a hold
week.
On.
Okay.
That's the first thing to talk about.
Okay.
The next thing to talk about is Amber Heard shitting in Johnny Depp's bed and the whole trial that's happening right now.
Okay.
That's
but you would have
one.
To take the reins on that one because I have really not been following it.
I would not have to do that.
Okay.
And
okay,
next
what's
up,
next?
That show we watched with the piece of shit guy who tells people that their dead relatives are communicating with them.
What about the ultimatum, too?
There you go. There's another option.
Okay, let's talk about all of these things. Should we start from the back and work our way forward?
Ultimatum?
Yeah.
I guess so. I got to be honest with you. That's my least favorite topic because I hate that fucking show.
Ian gets...
And I want the studio or the hotel where it's filmed to be nuked by the Russians.
Okay. The Ultimatum is a television show on Netflix where a bunch of couples come on and one of the people in the couple is demanding that the other one marry them right now or kill themselves or get out. And the idea, I guess, is that they all swap. All the couples like get to know each other and swap for a week.
Yeah, and then they live with each other.
Yeah, so like they start lingering and mingling and fingering and they pick somebody else to live with for a week, and that's supposed to help their current relationship.
It's supposed to start drama.
Yeah.
But all these people, the people on the show are like 23 years old.
Yeah.
And they're like demanding that their partner marry them immediately. And I just fucking hate it. I hate this fucking show so much. I hate everybody on the show. Why are you doing this to each other?
Yeah.
Your children. You don't need to do this right fucking now. Also, it's so despicable to be like, no, you gotta, we're already together.
Yeah.
We already like spend all our time together. Now, like, you have to do this thing for me or I will never see you again for the rest of my life. Also, I'm gonna fuck somebody right next to you.
Yeah, fuck this dude or lady.
There's nobody you can be like, oh, I like that guy. He's cool. Because the whole premise is ridiculous. You can't be a cool person and go on this show.
Well, here's my problem with you.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Are you about to give me an ultimatum?
No, yeah. The ultimatum is watch this show with me and relax or get the hell out. Because the first episode, I felt you and I were on the same page, which is this is a bonkers show and all these people are pieces of shit. And then at the end of that episode, going into the second one, you turned and you were just mad that everybody was bad people. And like, yeah, of course.
I can take it for one episode.
Yeah.
But it gets to a point where it's like, there's nothing to grab onto here. It's like, who are you rooting for? I'm rooting for the structure to collapse.
Why can't
and for
just...
them to get impaled with beams. I hate everything about it. I hate the fact that the show is fully filmed in a hotel. Like, they have... The thing with television these days is everybody is trying to have... trying to spend the least amount of money to make a show that's almost nothing.
Well,
that's the deal, you know?
This is coming from someone who's a big fan of The Circle.
Okay. The Circle has people in it you can root for, though.
I don't know why we need to be rooting for people.
What do you...
it's not a game show.
The Circle is, kind of.
No, this show, The Ultimatum. Why can't you just watch the car crash?
I guess. I don't know. I don't even think they're fun to hate.
Yeah,
I just think they're all just boring buttholes. Like, I need to have kids right now. It's like,
they're 23.
You just got out of high school, dude. Shut the fuck up. What are you talking about?
She's like, I can't keep waiting around. You're 22
And the people that like give the ultimatum and then they enter into this world where, you know, you pick a new partner to live with and nobody picks them. And all of a sudden they think the whole thing is stupid and they're mad at everybody. This is dumb. And I take back my ultimatum and I actually want to get married to my boyfriend.
Oh my God.
It's like, why? Because I already told you I have a horse face and didn't want to like move in with you. They're just despicable.
I mean, I do find it entertaining. You're not wrong, but I'm here for it, as they say.
Well, I watched like 4 episodes for you.
You're so wrong. We haven't even finished.
2.
Okay, yeah, we watched 2 episodes.
I just want to watch the John Wayne Gacy thing.
Do you actually like that?
I do like it.
Yeah, me too. I've been consuming so much true crime content lately that it's just
yeah,
a
I don't
lot
normally
of the same
do that
for me.
But John Wayne Gacy is like the big guy. You know what I mean? He's
big
like
guy.
The celebrity serial killer.
Well,
I
want to
know his deal.
Is he more famous than like Ted Bundy or what's his name? The one who was a cannibal?
No, but the true crime shit you're watching doesn't always feature, you know, the big timers.
Yeah, that's true.
You're just finding, you're just like watching a guy who put his wife in a briefcase. Which, I mean, it's, like, relatable. I want to watch something that's, like, really... I could not imagine dressing up like a clown and getting little boys from the bus stop and, like, killing them and burying them under in my crawl space because I could never afford a house.
Yeah, that's
I rent for my whole life,
it's
you know?
It's completely
putting
unbelievable.
Your wife in a briefcase.
Yeah.
Hey.
You don't have a wife.
Relatable. You don't know what I
will.
Have. You do not know what I have. You don't know everything about me. You're
so
not
John
with me
Wayne
24/7.
Gacy's your favorite serial killer?
I didn't say that.
Oh my God.
I didn't say that.
I'm just trying to have a conversation.
You're putting words in my mouth.
People
though.
Love this clown aspect. Like it's super interesting. He did it. He was just like would dress up as a clown at birthday parties. Sometimes it had nothing to do. He didn't kill people while dressed as a clown. Just like
hold
a
on
side
a second.
Venture. What? What?
Remember the quote? That like from the Gacy tapes.
Yeah,
where he
if
goes,
you're a clown, you can murder people and get away with
yeah,
it.
Yeah. That's a direct quote.
That's true.
Also, he's like, you could sit on ladies' laps and like finger them or whatever, yeah. And they won't do anything because you're a clown. You're like, you can.
Yeah, I'm confused about that one. I
think
like
you just do that.
I think you would think you'd be drawing more attention to yourself if you were dressed as a clown doing.
But clowns
that.
Are creepy.
Yes. What is that about? Have we discussed this yet?
They look like scary monsters, I think.
But do they?
They don't look like human beings.
Well, yeah, but
clowning was always like weird to me because it always felt, I always felt like sorry for the clown because it's like, this is something, like you're some kind of adult loser who thinks this is entertaining to us kids and it's not.
Oh.
And here you are like, making balloon animals and stuff, and it's like nobody really enjoys it that much.
Yeah,
everybody's like, I don't know about this.
I hope that's like a tradition of the past that we're not doing anymore.
Oh, we're still doing it.
We're clowns at birthday parties?
I think so.
I think you can hire like Disney princesses and stuff now. You could hire Spider-Man.
You don't think you can hire a clown right now?
Clown
a local
is
clown?
So like vintage because it's not tied to like a movie franchise or anything. You know, like kids want to see Elsa or the
but
Hulk.
This is my point. Clowns are like not for anybody.
Yeah.
But there are adults like weird, you know, single men. Who do this stuff,
yeah.
And it's like, it's just, I don't know, what is your life? Even like as an 8-year-old, you're like, oh.
What? Yeah, no,
buddy.
I...
Buddy.
What was the, that documentary, that pedophile documentary, something
be
about
specific?
The Freedmans?
Yes.
Were they also clowns?
Probably.
Party clowns?
Yeah.
Was that, are 100% of clowns pedophiles?
I think a lot of them are just sad. Sad sacks.
Okay.
I think like there's something to going to the circus and seeing a clown.
Yeah.
Because it's very physical.
Yeah.
You know, still it's like I would prefer you not wear the makeup and the giant shoes and just do silly slapstick stuff and come out of a tiny car. But, you know, there's some skill to it, I think.
I like the makeup and everything at the circus.
Sure.
Because the one, the Barnum and Bailey guy... He's different. He wears like a, like the Slim Jim head.
That's the Big Apple Circus.
Oh, is it? I don't know.
I'm pretty sure. If it's the guy I'm thinking of.
Yeah, with like the hair straight up and down.
He's got a high top fade kind of.
Yeah.
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 He's kind of funny. He would go on morning shows and stuff.
And he's like young looking.
Mm-hmm. If you can reinvent it.
Yeah.
I guess. But I think people think kids just see clowns and they're like, oh, fuck yes. Yeah, this is my shit.
Maybe if they're like four, you have to be teeny tiny. But as soon as you start developing any kind of individuality or personality or wherewithal, no more clowns.
Yeah. I think that's the case, too, with all the Disney princesses and stuff. Mm. You know, I think you outgrow it pretty young.
Yeah, because by the time you're eight, you're like, okay, but that's like but that's not actually Elsa, Jasmine. Yeah.
Yeah, she's a cartoon.
Right.
What do I look like? A room?
How they fool people to begin with. It's like, what kind of magic happened here? This is just a real person.
Were you ever fooled?
I never had a birthday party.
You see
party
fucking
with
a, Winnie the Pooh? No, you know, Disney World or whatever.
The first time I went to Disney, I was like 11, 10 or 11. So I was not fooled by that.
Right.
So no, I don't know. I don't know if I would have been, probably, but.
Okay. Well, we got to the bottom of that.
Okay, good.
What were we talking about? Ultimatum.
John Wayne Gacy.
Oh, John Wayne Gacy. Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting, John Wayne Gacy, because I didn't know anything about him. I didn't know he was like an upstanding or like, you know, people believed that he was an upstanding businessman in the community and he gave back all the time and he was volunteering and he ran a construction business. It's like all I knew was the creepy clown painting.
Right.
Did he eat people?
No, I don't think he ate people. I think I read somewhere, we haven't gotten to the end of the documentary, but I think I read somewhere that he suffered a brain injury as a kid, and when they did an autopsy on him, that part of his brain was still severely damaged, like well into adulthood, and it may explain why he didn't have much of a problem fucking and murdering people.
Yeah. Do you think if it was like modern times when it's okay to be gay? If any of that would have happened.
Yeah, he was like closeted to the point that it enraged him. And he was so adamant that he wasn't gay. He just fucked men and women, but mostly men. But
he would never fall in love with a man.
Yeah, he's like, I can't be gay because I don't have relationships with men. I just have sex with them all the time.
And he was like, there's three types of sexuality: straight, gay, bisexual. And I was like, whoa.
And he
excuse me,
did you know John Wayne Gacy was problematic?
Yeah.
You can be John Wayne Gacy nowadays, I'll tell you that. That's not okay.
Yeah.
But he also was very like, there are heterosexuals, there are homosexuals, and he was basically saying like those are the two romantic sexualities, and bisexuality he claimed was just you just like fucking and you have no feelings for anybody whatsoever.
Yeah, but didn't he say he could fall in love with women though?
I don't know. He married.
He had a lot going
them,
on with his homosexuality, and that's why I'm wondering if he would. But he's also like almost a pedophile. He was an ephebophile.
Yes, he liked young boys.
Right. He would have loved TikTok.
Oh, my God. Wow.
The Hype House.
He would have been the biggest fan of the Hype House.
He probably would have managed like the Hype House.
Oh, my God. Yeah, that's exactly what he would have been. He would have been like a
boy band guy.
Yep.
Like that other guy, that other pedophile.
The NSYNC guy?
Yeah.
Was he a pedophile?
Yeah, dude.
Okay, I forget. There's too many documentaries.
Come on. Anyway, what about the show? What's the other thing we're going to talk about? The show with the guy who can talk to your dead loved ones.
Life After Death.
That show is so fucking frustrating.
See, but you like this even though you hate this guy, right?
No, here's the thing. Like, I watched the one episode of Ultimatum, and it was like fun to like get some hate out of me. You know,
yeah.
But then I was done. I feel like same way with the Life After Death guy. I think I'm done with him too.
Really?
I don't think I'm gonna keep watching that.
I could binge all these shows.
As you should.
You give up on them so quickly, and then I'm hooked and abandoned.
But he's such a fucking asshole. You just want to choke the life out of him.
I think his name's Tyler Henry, and he's a psychic.
Yeah.
Celebrity psychic.
A liar.
And he does this, like, he does this, I don't know. He saw it on an episode of, like, Tales from the Crypt or something. This, like, old oracle. Just, he looks off into the distance and starts scribbling and making all these weird patterns, like, cross-hatching patterns. And that gives him messages from the beyond.
Yeah, he's like, your mom had a spot on her lung. And it's, you know, it's very specific. Like, he really, he'll be like, your friend died and she liked mariachi music, even though she was an Italian lady. And they're like, oh my God, how would you know that? It's like, because you're four women with tons of makeup on who drink white wine. You post everything on Instagram. And I just went there and I fucking read it. That's fucking how.
Right.
Motherfucker. God. And she, I wish the Amazing Randy was still, were still alive. That's a great documentary.
Yes.
Amazing Randy was a guy who used to debunk this kind of shit.
Damn. I know. I was thinking about him the entire time. Just how did he... I can't remember. How did he expose people?
Well, he did a lot of stuff. Like, he would go on late night shows and have people try to read him or whatever. Mm-hmm. Or he would show how they were fake bending a spoon with their mind. Or he would go... One time, he used to go to live events. Mm-hmm. And there was this guy who would do this from the stage. And he did it with, like, extreme accuracy. And the Amazing Randy figured out how to use, like, a walkie-talkie or something to dial into the frequency of his wife backstage feeding him information.
Oh my God.
From, like, cards that these people filled out.
So
I don't know how they got them to do that, but...
What happened in that... Did that derail the entire show?
Yeah, he, like, exposed him as a fake. That's what he did. He would go on television and, like, you know, this fucking guy... He was a... He could also do magic, too. He was a magician. But he was like, you know, this is fake.
Yeah,
it's all fake.
He wasn't lying to
and
people.
And he's very charismatic, hilarious.
Yeah.
So he was, like, a regular on all these late night shows and stuff.
He was also in a Feebophile, right?
No. No.
Just kidding.
No, there was an age gap with his husband or boyfriend.
Wide age gap.
Yeah, not that wide.
Like 70 years.
No, that's 70 years. Like 68 years.
But he was very cool. I need to rewatch that documentary because I don't
remember.
It's
one of my favorite.
Yeah.
Favorites. It's called An Honest Liar.
And he was just so angry at the grifters that he made it his mission to expose everybody. Mm-hmm. God, we need him. We need him now more than ever.
Yeah, this fucking guy, this blonde kid, has been on every television show, spoken to every celebrity and told them that their mom's looking down at them. And, like, it's disgusting, man.
Yeah, I remember him telling the Kardashians that Robert Kardashian is proud of them. And I was like, that's how we know this is all a sham.
Have you seen that clip from the Kardashians where, like, Kim's, like, little cousin or somebody runs up to her and, like, look what I found in Roblox. Is it Roblox?
Video game? Yeah, I think so.
And it's her sex tape.
No, what?
Yeah, and she's, like, crying on the phone. It's my sex tape's on Roblox.
What a goofy life. Oh, my God.
The kid's wearing, like, an Armani suit or something, like a silk. He's, like, 8. And he's looking at her ass on this video game.
Wait, they have sex tapes on Roblox?
I'm not 100% sure what Roblox is, but I think it's kind of like a community where people, like, make games and then you can go play their games or something like that. It's like a software where you build video games. I'm probably getting that completely wrong, but then you can go play people's games they made. And somebody made a game where it's just like...
You just watch sex tapes?
Well, I don't know.
Okay. I'm intrigued.
Okay, well, you should download it and play it.
Okay.
All right, did we do enough talking about that guy?
No, probably not. I mean, but we only watched that one episode, and there's just, you kind of just have to watch it.
I just want to choke the life out of him.
I know.
It's really hard to
watch.
His
mannerisms are very, just phony. When you know he's full of shit, just every little eye movement, it's also calculated and unsettling. And he's talking to famous people like music producers. And I mean, I didn't know those four women he was talking to.
I didn't think
but
they
like,
were famous.
Maybe not. Yeah. They just look like Real Housewives or something. Yeah, he became well known as like the celebrity psychic.
Right.
I don't know how this happened. But it just like is heartbreaking to see people who you almost could have maybe respected, being like, wow, this is crazy. There's no way you could have known that. Why does every fucking psychic to this day still do, do you know anyone with a sh sound in their name? Or maybe it's ch. Like, these spirits can only give them little clues.
Yeah, like
it's
symbols.
Such leading and questions. And somebody goes, oh, could it be Sean? And he's like, yep,
yep,
definitely Sean. Do you know a Mickey or a Mikey? Why? What? Why is it so like ambiguous?
Yeah, it's incredible to me that this is a grift that just keeps going. You think eventually everybody's going to get on board and be like, no, this is horseshit. This is terrible that we do this to people that are grieving.
Yeah,
we shouldn't make a whole show around it. This kid shouldn't live in a mansion. You know? But no, it never ends. It keeps going.
It never will end until there's a definitive answer what happens after we die, and that's never going to happen, at least not in our lifetime.
When you die, you sit in a room,
and then
you
hear
like two letters back to this blonde guy.
Yeah, you just hear Tyler Henry every once in a while when you're just trying to enjoy the afterlife. Like, hey, I'm here with so-and-so. Do you have a message for them?
Also, I don't really know what you get out of talking to somebody that's like, your uncle died, and you go, whoa.
That's crazy that you knew that. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, and he loved hip-hop music. Yeah. How did you know that?
Whoa.
I don't really understand where this goes.
There is
eventually
never,
they say, like, he's proud of you.
Yeah, there's never a definitive, like, hey, the key to the lockbox is buried out in the backyard of this, like, these. It's always just, don't feel guilty. There's nothing you could have done to prevent their death, and they're at peace. And you just go, oh, great. Okay.
Wow, it's cool how it always works out.
Right.
You know? Nobody's like, they're saying that they hate your guts, and you're partially responsible
right.
for their alcoholism that killed them.
Right.
It's always like, we know he knows that you feel bad about what you did, and he forgives you.
Wow.
What closure I have.
It's amazing how the people's concept of the afterlife is that your personality would have to completely change in order to make you the most selfless, peaceful, you know, zen, kind being.
What?
So all these people who are dead, right?
Yeah.
They don't harbor any resentment or anger. They're always just like at peace with everything that's happened.
Yeah.
And that sort of means that they're not them anymore. They're just like a peaceful being.
Yeah, I would be like, if you got in contact with me, I would be like, oh my God, I'm dead. This fucking sucks. I'd be excited
about
it.
Wait, what should I ask you? Say I go to a psychic after you die. What's the one question I should ask?
Here's the problem. If you go to a psychic, like a really good one, like this guy, he's listening to this podcast.
Oh, damn.
And he's writing it down in his little notebook.
Oh, damn.
Yeah.
He'll know. Okay.
I'll tell you off mic.
Okay, good idea.
What else did I say on the docket? Amber Heard and her
big
fat
Amber.
Turd.
Amber Heard and her big fat turd.
That's the name of the episode.
I'm not following the trial, believe it or not. I know that she pulled a Burke Ramsey and took a dump in their bed.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not following it that closely. There's a few things, though. Like, every time they get into a fight, he calls her Officer Squarehead or Mr. Squarehead. She's got a big square head. People on TikTok and Instagram are putting a filter on her head every time they cut to her.
Does she have a square head?
I don't know. Johnny Depp is being cool as hell.
Is he?
Yeah, people, you know, they're interrogating him and they're like, I don't know. They'll read his texts and it'll be something insane. Something you would only say to the person you're with.
Yeah,
could you read that again?
There was one point where he had to answer for calling her a lesbian camp counselor. And he's like, I mean, she used to call herself a lesbian camp counselor, so I don't think that's that bad.
Oh, man. You got this like crazy relationship, and then you got to give up all your texts.
Dude.
That must feel so bad because you're like, you've been texting with somebody for years, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then you just give up everything. You're like, there's no possible way I remember the worst things I've said in this exchange, you know?
Yeah, it would be just as surprising to you as anybody else. You go through and
you search some keywords to make sure, you know, that none of that's coming out.
I don't think I could keep a straight face if I had to answer for some of our text messages. Like the insane things say to each other.
It would be kind of funny to have some lawyer have to read your nonsensical rants.
You've been.
I love when they like pretend that they're like scandalized or that they can't believe you said this. It's like, fuck off. You're not a human being. You haven't, you know, joked with the person you're with.
Right. Yeah. Officer Squarehead is really funny. That's growing on me.
Yeah.
And what does that prove that she was, that this is a libel trial, right? Or a slander trial, whichever one is the written one.
He's defamation. Suing her. So her lawyers are trying to prove that he was abusive and that she wasn't lying.
Okay. And Officer Squarehead.
But they're failing like unbelievably. If you watch all the clips. They're doing such a bad job because there's nothing there. You know, she was a piece of shit. Like she would film him like freaking out and post it on the internet and be like, he's abusive or whatever. And not mention that his mom had just died and just because he's banging things around in the kitchen.
Yeah, he wasn't like freaking out on her. He was just like having a moment.
Well, he freaked out when he realized she was filming him secretly.
Yeah. Okay.
Which is a little bit. Is kind of understandable.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, look at him. He's drinking and he's mad that she's filming him. It's like, yeah, his mom just passed away.
Yeah.
You fuck.
I don't like taking sides at all in this, though. Like,
Yeah.
It feels weird. I just, they're both ridiculous people to me. I think we all side with Johnny Depp in our heads because, like, we grew up with him and we're like, it's a fucking guy. I feel like I've known him my whole life. Who the hell are you? You haven't made Edward Scissorhands. You were just in
Aquaman.
Fucking Pineapple Express.
Was she?
Yeah, she was the girl.
She's the
like
pineapple.
16 and I think Seth Rogen is dating her, which is fucking
weird.
Oh,
yeah. Wow, Seth Rogen. Wow.
Problematic.
Explain that.
But yeah, so like I think you do this math in your head where you go like, you haven't contributed to popular culture the way Johnny Depp has, so fuck you.
No, I don't think that's what it is. I think like everybody went after Johnny Depp. He got fired from a bunch of shit. There was a Rolling Stone article about him where it kind of just painted him as this like sad old guy who used to be hot, who now can't really make enough money to pay for all these houses he owns and just like spends hundreds of thousands of dollars on wine and can't control his spending. And everybody was kind of like, Johnny Depp's over. He's abusive. Fuck that guy.
Hmm.
And then as, you know, things progress. I remember when, what's his name? Doug Stanhope, who is a good friend of Johnny Depp's, came out with this article or something he wrote about how Amber Heard is actually the monster and Johnny Depp is chill and she's manipulative and abusive. And everybody turned on him and was like, fuck you, you misogynist piece of shit. For a while there, I really do think it was like, fuck Johnny Depp. And now we're starting to learn things. Like she took a shit in his bed. As soon as you learn that, you go, whoa, wait, what? I want to rehear the story again. Let's reopen this case.
This is coming from the person who tweeted, if you're shocked she took a shit in his bed, you've never been in a real relationship.
Yeah. It's called love, all right?
I really do. I just get so exhausted hearing both of their antics because they're so fucking dramatic. They're so...
actor love.
Yeah. Like, it has to be the worst, most toxic relationship in the world because that's the only thing that makes them feel anything. They've got to write cryptic messages on the wall in their own blood or in puffy paint or whatever the fuck they're using. Like, either one. They just, like, chill out, you losers.
Sure.
But yeah. I don't.
But there was like straight ahead slander going on,
right?
I think
because
like, secret recordings and stuff like that are edited in a certain way that make
the
him
whole
look bad.
Trial is actually, it's specifically for this op-ed she wrote for the, I want to say the Atlantic, Washington Post. I don't know, but about being in an abusive relationship.
That's crazy.
Yeah,
like I can almost understand. I can't. but I still think it's despicable. But I can understand a young person not really knowing how to be in a relationship, having fucking problems, you know, mental illness issues or whatever, mm-hmm. and on occasion not really realizing how famous they are, maybe tweeting something out or, you know, I don't know, posting something on Instagram or something that's like incriminating or accusatory,
yeah.
whatever. But to sit down and write a fucking article.
Yeah, just like then, that was at the after, like, I'm pretty sure it was after their previous trial, right? So she's like, now I'm just going to sit down and, you know, it's like another performative kind of attention.
Yeah. And there's also this thing where it's like, once the person is dead, as far as Hollywood is concerned,
yeah.
or is at least like marginalized now, can't get the leading man roles he used to get, like, what more do you fucking want? Now yeah. it's like insult to injury type shit.
Well,
this is sociopathic behavior.
Right. Because I would assume that if you are a serious actor, your thought is, thank God this is behind me. I can yeah. let it go and move on. Or is this the only thing that people know about you? Did you not kill it in Aquaman?
Right.
I don't know.
I mean, but she was in Aquaman. She was the fucking, you know.
She was a fucking girl with red hair. I remember that much.
Yeah, she was the, like, hot fish.
Yeah. Was she not in the sequels? I don't know.
Well, she isn't now.
Okay.
It's like happening the other direction now.
Yeah.
So they wrote her out of, I don't know, there's no Aquaman sequel, I don't think.
Oh, yeah, I don't
but
know.
But they're making one, they wrote her out of it.
Okay.
Just like they did with Johnny Depp when, you know, people
Fantastic.
Thought he was the abuser.
Yeah.
Everybody just out here accusing and abusing.
Yeah, and then the companies are just playing ping pong whichever way the, like, money goes.
Yeah. Whichever way the wind blows. Everything has become like spin.
Yeah.
And how you can present yourself on the internet. Like, this is what I was, I don't know, I was telling you about this before. Just like people we know who we've interacted with in real life who are like actually despicable, like scary. I've only met a handful of people like this in my life. And they're online with 50, 60,000 Twitter followers spinning their yeah. whole life. Because most people that follow you on the internet don't meet you in real life, don't know how you actually behave. So there's this new type of mental illness or whatever you want to call it, this way of manipulating the facts and presenting yourself as something you're not, which is fascinating and frustrating. So listening yeah. to a podcast today where this guy is just like, again, it's like we live in New York, we know these people. And the way they're able to misrepresent themselves on the internet and get people and convince people that this is true is yeah. so scary and bizarre, man.
Yeah, I'd like to get ahead of the rumors. I am, in fact, a piece of shit. I'm not.
Yeah.
Cool.
Never believe anybody who is telling you about, well, that's not. I was going to say, like, anybody's talking about they're being abused or anything.
Oh, yeah,
don't believe any of those people.
Don't listen to Ian right now.
Don't believe those people. They're lying. They just want to look cool.
I do. When it's mega rich people and it's like their dirty laundry has been aired and then some, and they're still trying to control the narrative, it's like, please just, like, don't engage.
It doesn't even have to be, like, filthy rich people. It's just, like, after the 40th tweet about this thing that happened to you, I get if it's like really heinous and nobody believes you and you're really trying to like get justice for yourself, but like if you get into like a fist fight or something after like the third year of tweeting about it and like the trauma I've experienced from this and like, you know, and always naming the person and stuff, you start to go like, what's the motive here? Because that shit is rewarded these days, you know? It should be, in a way. You should believe people and try to, you know, right wrongs that have been done.
Right.
But a sociopath, psychopath, see that stuff and they go, ooh, I'm going to get me some of that action. That's a weird thing to watch.
Yeah.
From afar, just be like, fuck. And you just see all the Twitter replies and they're just like, oh my God, I hope you're okay. And
famous by any means necessary.
Yeah. Do you not agree?
It's a hard thing to add a big generalization to.
It's not a generalization. I'm saying like specific cases.
Yeah, yeah.
I see unfold online where I go, like, just because you have access to all these fans, you're able to rewrite a narrative and make yourself the hero. Mm-hmm. And that is a new weird phenomenon that I feel like I keep witnessing.
Yeah.
Just because we're like privy to these people's real life personalities.
Right. Yeah.
And you go, well, that ain't it. You're fucking lying. Mm-hmm. And then there's all these people that are like, oh, well, I only know you through this like parasocial relationship I have, or only listen to you on podcasts or read your tweets or whatever. So why would I not believe you? Why would I believe that you're a bad faith actor? You know, you only present yourself as being like this giving, thoughtful victim.
Right. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there's no remedy to that, right? That's just, no, like, it's just the weird way of the world
it's
now.
It's just dark. I think there's like, we're going to need some new terms for new like psychopathic behaviors. Like
what was David telling us this weekend? Oh, I shouldn't bring it up because I don't remember exactly, but
he was saying there's some article he read about how when you hear from somebody who claims to be a victim of a certain thing, like a specific like sexism or something, mm-hmm. and then becomes an advocate for that thing and has a tendency to like lash out at people and shame people, that those people are very often like mentally ill and almost like psychotic, you know?
Narcissistic.
Yeah, when you see that, that's not good. That's not a good person necessarily, you know, that dedicates their life to being like, this happened to me and therefore I'm going to go scorched earth. You know, and it's kind of just like
part of me wants to rail against that. I just need to think of a perfect example of somebody who's like, I don't know, like, what about somebody whose kid is killed in a drunk driving accident, and so their whole life they're an advocate for drunk? Or what about that guy, the pharmacist, right? He like takes down the opioid industry, or he at least takes it on. Because his
I think this is a very specific person. Yeah. I'm thinking like the MSNBC pundit who's on there just promoting their podcast and they go to them anytime anybody does anything sexist, and they go to this person and they, you know, do their hair and makeup and they're really excited. It's a very specific type of person.
Yeah, there's definitely, be wary of somebody who builds a brand off of that.
The guy, you know, that reverend guy that I'm always telling you about on Twitter, who's trying to create the Poor People's Campaign to march on Washington, mm-hmm. to try to unite like people in Flint, Michigan, and then people in Appalachia whose water is poison.
Mm-hmm.
You can see how that's different.
Yeah.
You know
what
I mean?
Yeah.
Different than somebody going on television and being like, and another thing, mm-hmm. and this happened to me, and you should follow me on Twitter. That's a whole group of people that have a very specific like mental illness.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's kind of similar to like the John Wayne Gacy thing in that like he lived during a time where homosexuality was considered a sin. And
he wouldn't. We were just talking about this on the last episode. He went to jail for sodomy.
Right.
It wasn't like assault. It wasn't non-consensual, right? It was just,
well,
he blew a guy, right?
It was a kid.
Oh,
that he picked up at the bus station.
I missed that
and
part.
Then every time John Gacy tells a story, it's a little bit whitewashed.
He's like,
a guy came at me with a knife, so I had to stab him 15 times in the face,
right,
and bury him under my crawl space. It's like, is that what fucking happened?
Yeah, you were just driving around the Greyhound bus station for no reason.
Yeah, this stuff happens a lot.
You picked up a drifter child and then he attacked you.
Yeah, well, you only get his side of the story in regards to that occurrence, but like other times when you hear people that got away tell their story, it's like, he handcuffed me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I'm sure it wasn't just like, oh, we consensually blew each other.
Right.
And then what was the story? Like he came at him with a knife or something like that.
I forget.
But, oh no. The kid got away and then told his dad.
Oh,
and then
he
went to jail for sodomy.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I think if in general homosexuality was embraced, I mean, who's to say? But maybe he wouldn't have killed all those people.
Right.
Maybe he would have just been a gay guy.
Now, I don't know.
Okay. All I'm saying is like that's similar to what's going on now. There's
it's
all these grifters.
It's kind of like about what's going on these
it's
days.
Kinda like a, it's kind of like what's going on these days.
Sorry. Go
you
ahead.
Know what I mean? There's like these specific grifters that could only live now.
Yeah.
Based on how the culture is.
Yeah,
how it
yeah.
works, you know, you get all this clout from being online, feeds the specific mental illness you have, and maybe you wouldn't have been like this grifter monster if you lived in a different time?
Chicken or the egg scenario, I suppose. Because I think that John Wayne Gacy probably would have been a homicidal maniac no matter what.
Yeah. I just think it would probably play out differently.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a person-to-person thing. Some people are predisposed. Depends on how they hit their head as a kid or whatever. You know, some people are just disabled.
Yeah. Anyway, you're in a Jelly Bean commercial or
something? Oh, my God. No, I wish. I auditioned for a Jelly Bean commercial, and I didn't get it. And it's going to be my...
White whale.
It's going to be my...
Your Technicolor whale.
What's her name from Blade Runner? Have we talked about this? I think about her so much. There's a woman who starred in Blade Runner in the 80s with Harrison Ford, and she really wanted to be Catwoman.
She was insane.
She was fully insane. And when I think it was Tim Burton was like, fuck you, no, you're not going to be Catwoman, she went on either Letterman or Leno or one of those late night, maybe Carson, dressed as Catwoman and was like, look at me now. I bet you wish I was the Catwoman, don't you? They were like, oh my fucking God. She just like slowly lost her mind. So now I'm just going to LARP as a Jelly Bean queen.
Yeah, show up to the office.
Yeah, I'm going to go to the shoot. I'm going to find out what it is. We're like, hi, I'm here for the Jelly Bean shoot. It was my first time ever auditioning for a commercial, anything really, since college. And it was odd to me because I realized that they were like, oh, you're a stand-up comedian, so you just like read this like the two lines we lazily wrote and then just improv and be hilarious. Go.
Yeah, if you get the job, like, you only get an actor's credit, and that doesn't even pay that much.
And it's like a payout so that
they
don't...
So you want me to write your shit?
Yeah.
You know what's really fucked up with this stuff is that if they could take the stuff you did in the audition and use it in the commercial even if they don't hire you.
What? I didn't sign anything.
I think they do that. I've heard people tell stories like that. Like, I riffed some shit in an audition, didn't get the part.
Oh.
Then I see the commercial and there's my...
Your line?
My lines.
Yeah, I could see that. Yeah, they for sure...
What are you going to do? Sue them?
Well, I got to be honest, Ian, my improvisation was not... killer.
What
so.
The fuck are you supposed to do?
I know.
The Jelly Bean lady from Jelly Bean Town. Go ahead, improvise.
Yeah, that's basically what they did. I was like, oh, I guess I'm the worst comedian in the world because I can't think of any Jelly Bean specific lines right now. But
really huge fuck you to every company that makes commercials. You know, imagine if what's his name, the madman character.
Oh, Don Draper.
Don Draper was just like, Lay's potato chips. Okay, you go. You say it. You do it, and then I'll film
it. No, what they do is they write like two lines. They'll be like, Lay's potato chips. Now,
tastes good.
Now in salt and vinegar flavor. Okay, now be hilarious. Go ahead.
Yeah, now say the good part. You do that.
And you're like, what? Okay.
You want to be like, what's your job?
And then
what do you do?
You feel so shitty. Honestly, I don't know what happened. Who knows? Like, it wasn't the greatest performance of my life, and they could have had somebody totally different in mind and whatever. It's not a big deal, but that part where you just feel like such shit for not coming up with the lines for them it's a bummer, but live and learn, I guess. Also, it was via Zoom from home, and you can't lock Iggy up because she will just bark the entire time. So I had her next to me. She's walking back and forth behind me just to be an asshole. They were really nice, actually. Like, no, it's no big deal. Like, you can incorporate her into the scene. And then I realized, like, you couldn't even see her in the shot. So I was like, fucking forget it. And she was like, okay, thank you. And you think about it for the rest of your life.
No, you don't. You don't think about it at all. That's what
true.
You should do.
That's true. I know. I'm not actually.
You want to sell... You want to be Flo the Progressive Lady for vitamin jelly beans?
I didn't until I got the opportunity, or like almost the opportunity, and now I'm like, hell yeah. Is that not the coolest thing ever to be in like just a recurring spot? Flo is worth $14 million. She doesn't do shit. She works like 2 hours a year.
Yeah.
That's awesome. And then you can just live, do whatever you want for the rest of your life.
But you're an artist.
I'm not. I'm not anything.
Yes, you are.
I can't even sell jelly bean vitamins.
You could sell jelly bean vitamins.
I couldn't even sell jelly bean vitamins to a
to a adult to man
an
baby.
Anemic child.
Yeah.
I gotta
no,
say.
You'll get him next time. You'll be the president of Snickers protein bars.
Oh, God, we're all doomed.
Now take your baby vitamins.
Yeah, this is me being completely petty, but now that it's off the table for me, I don't think that's the best idea.
No.
Jelly bean vitamins. But.
Of course not.
You know. Yeah.
We took mushrooms and went and saw Jack White. That was fun.
Oh, I forgot about that. I'm still feeling it.
I know. Good times.
Did you have a nice time?
I did, yeah.
At Jack White?
Who was buzzing all the fucking buzzers in this building?
All of them. And that really makes me not want to let people in.
Yeah,
and
I know.
It's still going. I did order a dog bed for Iggy, but they're not really buzzing our apartment, so.
Well, they do a thing where they go, eh.
And ours is broken sometimes, too.
It's not broken. You just got to really shove it down.
Okay.
Yeah. Which is probably good for us.
Yeah.
Because kids aren't walking by smashing the whole thing. Drunk people.
That rarely happens.
Drunk people are always on our street.
That's true.
Stumbling and bumbling, screaming.
I saw.
Fucking and sucking and eating ass.
I was walking Iggy the other day and a group of like 100 children like NYU kids in blazers and like business casual outfits, but it was like 1 a.m. and they were drunk. Like they went to some sort of hotel conference where you also get fucked up. I don't know, but they were all.
Or that's just the way they dress now.
Yeah, or maybe.
They're stupid.
They were all coming at me and I thought I was losing my mind. It was like the stampede in The Lion King. I was like, oh my God.
Yeah, you take her out to piss and you can see them in the distance and
yeah.
She's like,
you're
swirling
like,
around. You're like, go. I don't want to be in the middle of this, you know, rave that's happening.
Yeah, awful. It never ended. It's still going.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
How about that fashion shit that's going on down there right now?
I didn't see any of that.
How did you not see it? I took the dog out after you left.
I realize now that I made a left as soon as I left the apartment.
From if you were to take a right, there are people in line wrapped around the block.
What's going on?
I don't know. Like the thrift store is like selling shit outside or something. But it's like I went out this morning and in like, I don't know, an old t-shirt, sweatpants, and then like shoes that were half on because the dog insisted on taking a shit. And like I had to walk like along this line of all these fashion nerds just like dressed to the nines in like insane.
You were wearing a t-shirt with a skull on it that just said nice.
No, it said nope.
Oh, sorry. Nope.
Yeah. That was disgusting. Just like
in this neighborhood,
waking up.
Every once in a while, I will wander into these like rich girl Caroline Calloway kind of figures will just sell their closet like a yard sale in a little alley in the Lower East Side. And you kind of wander into it and you feel like a gremlin.
In an alley?
Not in an alley, but like in an alcove along some street in the Lower East Side. You know, we went to one a few weeks ago.
Oh, is that what that was?
Just, it's like a pop-up vintage sale.
Yeah.
But I'm like, do you have a permit?
Do you want a tank top with Bart Simpson on it?
Yeah.
It's $70.
Or some of them are like those 9-to-5 80s blazer skirt sets that are, it's cool now to dress like a frumpy old woman. I was watching The Sopranos yesterday or a couple days ago and Christopher says to Adriana, they're making fun of this girl they meet from New York who wore like an outfit like that, like a tan blazer and skirt. And he's like, look at you, Adriana. You look like a woman. You're not dressed like a fucking bellhop.
Yeah. I was complaining about this recently. Like, I don't know where New York's like a fashion capital, right?
I suppose, yeah.
How are you supposed to? You go to a thrift shop to buy like some cool clothes. Everything costs $1,000 and is dog shit.
Mm-hmm.
It'll literally be like a Journey t-shirt.
Yeah.
Or like worse than that. You know, like a Family Guy t-shirt
it's
or something.
So expensive.
Yeah. And then your alternative is to like go to Soho where the actual corporate stores are. Yeah. And then you go in there and they will just like tell you to go fuck yourself, essentially, just with
the
looks.
Pretty woman you. Yeah. Yeah.
And you go, and also it's garbage in there too.
Yeah.
So you go, how? How is this place?
How are people dressing well?
I think it's because people are so obsessed with fashion that as soon as things go out in the rack that look kind of nice, boom, they're gone.
Yeah.
You know, that instant. People will stand in line around the block, on our block, to go to some stupid thrift store where they sell trash.
I've never had it in me, and I'm not proud of myself for this. I kind of do wish I had a part of me that, like, cared enough to dress well or have like a definitive style. But when I'm in a thrift shop for clothing, I can't bring myself to spend that much time going through.
Yeah, you just get tired.
It's all garbage. It's all garbage with some gems hidden in little pockets everywhere. But you have to spend an hour or something in there. I can do it in like an antique store. I don't know what the difference is there. I like decor and trinkets and things around the apartment, but when it's clothing, I think it's because other people have worn it and it's like musty.
I don't know. I just think it's bad. I think if you go to any small town in this country and go to their Goodwill, it's just infinitely better because it hasn't been picked over and people aren't obsessed.
Yeah.
And then here you come back and it's just like a Carhartt jacket.
Yeah.
And it's so much money and it's been used.
Yeah.
You're like, what the fuck?
It's very depressing.
It is. All right. That's it for the show.
Okay.
Did you want to do more?
No. Bye-bye.
Bye. I'll see you.